Hey, it's our Week 13 NFL review and a Patriots-Giants Monday night preview. Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Shots and Tenier NFL podcast for Monday. Oh my God, we're already in December. December 1st, 2025. Thanksgiving was late this year. I am Aaron Schatz. You know me as the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He is Mike Tenier. You read his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. We are going to talk in a little bit about the week all the good team lost. Four of the top five teams in DVOA lost this week, plus the number eight Eagles. But before we get to that, remind you that if you want a free month of the FTN GOAT subscription, the greatest subscription of all time, with DVOA and Stats Hub and charting data and fantasy projections that are award-winning, and betting tools, and all this stuff. We have worked with our friends at Underdog to hook you up. Now, for a limited time, when you sign up with Underdog, use our code FTN. Play your first $5. You'll get $100 in bonus bets, plus a free month of the FTN GOAT subscription on us. Sign up on Underdog, play your first $5, and our marketing team will be on the lookout to hook you up with that code for a free month of the GOAT subscription. That is promo code FTN on Underdog. Terms apply. So I was saying to you before we came on, and I skeeted this yesterday, or whatever you call when you put things out on Blue Sky. Power rankings are going to be very interesting this week because everybody had the Rams number one. The subjective power rankings had the Rams number one, and I believe that all the analytical power rankings had the Rams number one.
Right.
And now there is no clear number one team. DVOA has Seattle number one, and I'll talk in a second about that game. But I have a feeling that other advanced metrics, some will have the Rams still number one. Mm-hmm. Others might have, the Lions, the Packers, the Bills. There's no clear number one team right now, and it's really interesting. It was Matthew Carley says, this week in the NFL, chaos. And it was. This was a chaos week. I actually had to go back and look if there had ever been a week where the top five teams in DVOA all lost.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out it's happened twice.
Okay.
Once was week two of some year, which nobody cares about. The other was 1991 week 13.
Right.
And to show you just how much you learn from these losses,
mm-hmm.
the top five in DVOA that week that all lost included the two teams that made the Super Bowl, including Washington, which may be the best team of all time. So, don't overreact to one game.
Just start your power rankings at number six this year. Just leave 1 to 5 blank, put like the 1972 Dolphins up there or whatever, and start at number six, and then you'll feel better about it.
Is there any team where the fans feel like they're number one? Like maybe Seattle, the fans may feel they're number one. Maybe Denver fans feel they're number one despite all the close games. They've won four straight games by less than 3 points.
I can't imagine Patriots watching that game.
Fans may ignore the schedule and feel like they're number. I mean, the vibes in Foxborough are amazing right now.
Right.
But all the teams that you and I would argue are number one, other than Seattle, I think the fans would be like, Colts, we have problems. Bills, we have problems. Eagles, we have problems. Rams, we have problems. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know that Chicago fans are on top of the world, but I don't think they think they're number one. You talk to the fans in Foxborough. Obviously, they're enthusiastic. I don't think if the chips were down, they would say they were number one. I was on the radio in Seattle today, and they were very critical of the fact that, yes, the Seattle offense with Sam Darnold did not look very good in that shellacking of Max Headroom and the Vikings yesterday. So I don't know who feels number one. And Broncos fans, I can't imagine watching that game last night and being like, oh, yeah, we're the best. We're the best team in the NFL. Just look at our explosive offense.
Just look at how we beat the Commanders because Nick Benito made a play on a 2-point conversion that was otherwise wide open. So we're the best team in the league.
Right. With our explosive Bo Nix offense where Marcus Mariota kind of outplayed us.
Yeah. Matthew Carley says, Aaron says, DVOA does not like the Bears, but could they be getting better? They have been playing man coverage all year without their top two corners and Edmonds, and the offensive line has gelled as well. Yes, the Bears could be getting better. Yes. By DVOA, two of their three best games of the year are the last two games.
Right.
So, right. Yes, absolutely. Could the Bears be improved? I mean, listen, it's difficult. We'll talk about the Colts in a second when we talk about this kind of thing, but it's very hard to know how many weeks matters in the NFL. We know that 1 week doesn't. Does two? Does three? Does four? I mean, my tendency is to take a longer view
right.
of things. You know, even weighted DVOA gives full strength for the last five games and mostly full strength for like the four games before that.
Right. And it's very objective, and it's also a curve in your place. You don't throw out old right. stuff. You say, well, that's only counts for 60%. That only counts for 30%. So it's gradiated. And that gives you something that you can do mathematically that you can't do with your head cannon when you're just thinking off the top of your head.
Seahawks are number one again in DVOA. Max Brosmer with the worst offensive game in the history of the Vikings by DVOA by a ton, by 30 percentage points. I looked up yesterday this list of the worst Vikings offensive games, and the worst one was against the Chargers in like 84 because the Chargers were a really bad defense.
Okay.
In 84. So I was like, oh, well, maybe because the Seahawks are a really good defense, when you put in the opponent adjustments, this one's not going to be that bad. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Without opponent adjustments, it was worse. But this was the worst offensive game, even after adjusting for opponent, that the Vikings have ever played. Oh, my God.
I love how the comparison anyway would have been like the Tommy Kramer, Alfie Anderson Vikings of 1984. And even that gets obliterated.
Or the NFC Championship game in 2000 where they lost by, what was that, 41-0 or something.
Oh, God. But you posted that list, and here's the thing about it. There are two 2025 Vikings performance on the all-time worst Vikings performance list, and last week's with J.J. McCarthy was not one of them.
Yeah.
It was week two McCarthy, and it was Brosner yesterday. So I'll bet if you took that list down a little further, the previous week with McCarthy is probably on that list as well. That's three of the worst offensive games in the history of the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't feel like O'Connell has lost it. I feel like at a certain point, there's only so much whispering a quarterback whisperer can do. But you did point out in walkthrough, he did not give Brosmer the hand-holding.
No, at all.
Strategy.
Not at all. That looked like a Joe Flacco game plan. That looked like, okay, you're going to be able to scan the field, find your third read. Yeah, I watched Shedeur Sanders. Okay, and that's a third-string quarterback. That's a rookie, just like Brosner. And Stefanski's like, okay, here's the screen, the Fannin. Here's the screen, the Judkins. We're going to go Wildcat on third and one, and Judkins going to take the snap. We're going to protect you in this variety of ways. And it helps Sanders a little bit, and they won a game, and they stayed in the game with the 49ers for a while. What they did to Brosner was stunning. And
yeah, Seahawks are now number one on defense again.
Makes sense.
Number two on special teams. Number seven on offense. They dropped a lot on offense. Darnold was bad.
No, the Vikings defense was really taking care of business in the first half of that game, which is another thing O'Connell's got to worry about.
Yeah.
When they ask the question, well, you know, why didn't we just hand off every time and punt? Maybe we could have gotten a turnover.
Well, the running game wasn't getting anything either.
Jones had a fumble, but like there was no honesty by the Seahawks defense against them. Jones had a fumble that didn't help. Just a terrible game, but I can see Seattle number one. I wouldn't overreact to this Rams loss.
No, I wouldn't either. Let's talk about the Panthers' upset of the Rams. Matthew Carley says, do the Rams have a positive post-game win expectancy in all three losses? Yep, they do.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Panthers, 39% post-game win expectancy for two reasons. First of all, the Rams had a 59% success rate compared to 42% for the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had the turnovers. The Panthers were better passing. The Panthers had also more penalties, by the way. But the Panthers were amazing on fourth down. And Bryce Young's numbers on fourth down this year are incredible. And if you think that that's going to continue, just ask the Washington Commanders about last year. Yeah.
Right. And Young doesn't look like Daniels in first and second and third down either. He looks a step below him.
I mean, I think it's interesting. I think you look at the Panthers this year and it's just the chart goes bing, 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 bing up and down. And I feel like that's Bryce Young too. Like Bryce Young's performance this year is just, I don't come away going, oh, this is the quarterback. And I feel like, oh my God, he's been out there for 3 years and we still don't know what he is.
He's Flutie-esque because it's, he's fourth and three, and he throws a touchdown pass. So that's fourth and three again, and he throws a touchdown pass. And he's this little guy, and he's out there, and he's working his ass off, and you're excited about it, and it's very Flutie-esque. And that can be, I guess, a mid-tier NFL quarterback. But, yeah, it's going to go up and down like that when fourth down conversions and fourth down explosive plays are such a big thing. Yesterday, that was it. It was two fourth down touchdowns. It was a pick six. And it's a and the Rams lose a road game in the rain. Which,
you know. I'm still not super. I still feel like the Rams are maybe the top team in the league. They're better on offense than Seattle, which we know is more predictive.
Yes.
We still have the Rams as our Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah.
We have them higher than Vegas.
Okay.
We have the Rams winning the division 52% of the time.
Tough division.
And getting the number one seed 36%. The Seahawks are at 36 to win the division and 28 to get the number one seed. And the 49ers do win the division in some of the simulations.
And, you know, they all got a little break because the Lions and Eagles bit it this week. So,
but like you said, Matthew Stafford, you wrote about today, is 2-10 in bad weather games. Now, here's the thing. If the Rams beat the Seahawks in a couple of weeks, they get the one seed. They stay at home the whole time.
Stay at home.
If they have to go to Seattle, I know a city where it rains a lot.
I know a city where it snows a lot, Green Bay, Wisconsin, where they're now in pole position to win their division, and that could be a problem as well. Folks were saying, by the way, Stafford looked good against the Eagles in the snow last year. No, he didn't. He looked good in the fourth quarter of that game. The Eagles, it was one of those Eagles victories where the Eagles couldn't move the ball either. The Rams could not get anything done until the fourth quarter, then they kind of exploded.
Stafford's, I mean, if you're a Rams fan, if you're worried about anything, because I don't think you come away really worried about Stafford. Yeah, he threw a couple of picks.
That's, it happened. Stafford.
I think if there's anything I would worry about having watched part of that game, it's, oh, maybe that whole Emmanuel Forbes has discovered himself thing is not a thing. Because right. He didn't play well when I was watching.
Right, right. He's gone from like unplayable to like a playable guy. But the idea that he's good, you're talking about the front four. And the front four gets neutralized by bad weather. You know, they're playing on a slick surface. So I think that neutralized them a little bit. I just don't, you don't worry about the Rams, except that it's the NFL and you worry about everything. There's not this like obvious pick weakness in that team.
Another game with a reverse post-game win expectancy, the Texans.
Oh.
33% against the Colts. The Colts really? Were slightly higher in success rate, 40-37. And slightly higher in yards per play, 5.5 to 5.1.
Okay.
Did you feel like Jones was really affected by the fractured fibula? Because the thing I noticed was he barely got out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. And we talked on the podcast Thursday about the Texans and how if you did scramble against them, they gave up a lot of yards. Yes. Jones didn't scramble once.
Couldn't scramble once. When they went for a sneak, they went for a sneak with the tight end. That was part of it. One thing I didn't seriously break down is looking at how often they were doing two tight ends, how many quick concepts were in the game, because I think it impacted their game plan. The thing is, it's Daniel Jones. If you take 10% off Daniel Jones, you've taken 10% off Daniel Jones. That's right. Not taking 10% off Josh Allen.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say is the Colts, this is where we were talking about how many games matters when you look back at things.
Yes.
The Colts offensive DVOA through week 8, 38%. Since week 9, minus 2%.
Wow. And that's
how much do you look at the last four games? Because they had a bye week in there. How much do you look at the last four games versus the first 8 games when you're judging the Colts offense? Because they are absolutely falling apart.
Right, right. And that's got strength of schedule baked in.
Right. Like he's not good against the pressure anymore.
Right.
And they're not as good on third down anymore.
Right.
Like those two things have really fallen off.
Right. I don't think they're as consistent in the running game. I think opponents figured out a little bit all the stuff they were doing with Ty Warren, where it was like, oh, he's at fullback. Oh, he's going in motion. We don't know what's happening. Now you're seeing them match up with him in coverage in a way so he's not a factor. It's a lot of little things. And again, the schedule is so much harder now that I think.
Yes, they have the hardest remaining schedule by average DVOA of opponent.
Right. And that's after playing the Chiefs and Texans.
including that they play the Jaguars twice.
Jaguars
and
twice.
And the Texans once.
And the Seahawks in Seattle, I believe
that's true, yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's a tough road ahead.
We still have them favored to win the division because their rating is still really high because we're taking a longer view of things.
Right.
So we have them 49%, 32% for the Jags, and 19% for the Texans. The Jaguars actually have higher overall playoff odds because of tiebreakers that they have for wild cards.
That's right. They've got a Chiefs tiebreaker. I think they have a Steelers tiebreaker. So they've got a couple of those. They're still they had a great win yesterday. Still a very erratic team. I have no faith in them.
I thought Sauce. Yeah, that's a team that nobody's putting at number one in their power ranking. Nobody.
Nobody.
Jaguars fans. It doesn't matter.
Tony Khan does not have number one on the
team. I thought Sauce Gardner was done for the year. They say no.
No.
They say calf strain. He's only gone for a couple of weeks. When I saw that injury, I was like, oh no. We weren't quite at towel over his head level, but it looked bad.
Gimping off, coming back with the boot on. Yeah, it looked bad. A couple of weeks is a big deal. This was the prize over the top acquisition. He's not going to be there against Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You know, he's not going to be there against whoever we consider the number one receiver for the Jaguars now. You know, that's a big deal.
Do you have leftover things you want to say about the Thursday and Friday games other than Lamar Jackson is clearly not right, which is absolutely the case?
Lamar Jackson is clearly not right. We're in a post-apocalyptic wasteland here in Philly, and I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. E-Dog, the big dog, says the Eagles have to be the most miserable 8-4 team ever, except maybe the 1993 Oilers. Eagles getting into fights on the sidelines?
Okay. Oh, okay. That's Gilbride versus Buddy. Okay. Yeah. That was pretty miserable.
But yeah, I again, like we've talked about this numerous times. Eagles fans, first of all, you just won the Super Bowl last year. You got to give them a little bit of a honeymoon after that. But also, I mean, yeah, there's problems, but look around the league at all the problems that teams have and your defense is playing better. But they definitely got run over, it's not that their offense was still struggling. That was the surprise. It was that the defense was getting run over by Chicago, just manhandled.
Yeah, it was a really good offensive line game, good calling game by Ben Johnson calling up different kinds of runs, and the Eagles defense played poorly. And I have to remind people, and it was 10-9 to start the fourth quarter. Eagles got a score. You got to score. You got to not go 3-and-out. Our run defense is struggling. Then you got to get first downs. You got to get touchdowns. You got to make it so that the Caleb Williams, who was like 12 of 97 until the last couple of drives, you got to put the ball in his hands. Eagles offense doesn't hold up their end. And so the defense, which has been playing lights out for a month, buckles.
I think the other Thanksgiving game, the Lions don't match up well with the Packers.
Right.
And their win-loss record is a problem now. They're not in the playoffs. But I don't come away thinking that they're really much worse than I thought they were before Thanksgiving. And the Chiefs kind of the same thing. The win-loss record is a huge problem, but I don't come away going, oh, the Chiefs are bad. They played a good close game. I came away thinking, oh, the Cowboys are better than we thought they were.
The Cowboys are better than we thought they were. What's the playoff odds now for the Chiefs? You gave them to me. Wait, I've got them right here.
I have the Chiefs at, hold on. I can give you, we have the Chiefs at 47%. We have the Lions at 50%.
I'm stunned that it's still there after you get like a Broncos victory and a Chargers victory that further pushes the division.
Oh, the division's out. They're not.
The division's out. So now they're in this wild card soup. And they don't have the
Texans. That Texans Chiefs game is going to be colossal next week.
It's going to be colossal. But you have to check the injury reports too. The Chiefs have two injuries on the offensive line right now, plus Trey Smith, where we don't know the status. Lions lost Amon-Ra. I don't know how long that's the case.
That seems to only be for a week or two.
A week or two, but they have the Cowboys next, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and that offense right now, as I joked, it looks like the Dolphins offense, but with more protein in the diet, where they're playing hide a Goff because their offensive line has struggled. Frank Ragnow's not walking through that door.
That was a cool story.
It was a cool story. Walked in the door, got an MRI, and walked back out. They're doing everything. Get the ball to Gibbs on the perimeter. Get the ball to Jameson on the perimeter. It's like it's Achan and Waddle. And I can't see the Lions. It's hard to picture Lions sustaining at that level the way they have to, at least to do more than like crawl in as a wild card.
Well, I do think that with the craziness of this year, this is a good year for a wild card to make it to the Super Bowl.
And there's your Bears. There's your,
Lions. Chiefs if they make it in.
Bills
if they make it in.
Ravens. Although I don't think a wild card.
No, Ravens or Steelers would have to make it in as the division champion.
Right.
Review of other reverse post-game win expectancy games. The Jets, 43% over the Falcons. Operatic says, Atlanta's special teams issues feel like another indication of lack of attention to detail, along with timeout misusage and delay of game penalties, that indicates a change in coaching is needed.
Sure.
I would not overstate how much head coaching is reflected in special teams performance.
Okay.
As evidenced by the fact that the New York Jets are now the number four special teams unit ever measured through 12 games. And I don't feel like that is a reflection of great coaching.
No. Maybe they're doing something right at the bottom of the roster.
Mr. Glenn.
Yeah. That Falcons game, I remember a muffed punt.
There was a muff punt. There was also an 85-yard kick return by the Jets, and they had 49.5 net yards per punt. It was great. Nick Folk has only missed one field goal all year.
And they had the big field goal at the end. And my takeaway from it was raining on the Meadowlands. And if you just threw a wide receiver screen, you get like 12 yards because the defenders were like, so.
Like the grass in the league is – doesn't it feel like people are slipping? I mean, this is so subjective, but God, doesn't it feel like people are slipping more this year?
I think you're right. And I can't imagine what that is.
I don't know what that is.
All right.
Weighted DVOA top 12. This is weighted towards recent games, but not overly weighted. Number 12, Philadelphia, down 4.
Come on, guys. Pull together.
Number 11, Jacksonville, up 2. Number 10, San Francisco.
Hanging in there.
Number 9, Houston.
Improving.
Number 8, Buffalo, up 2.
8 is like 0 for them, but go on.
7 is Denver.
All defense, baby.
6 is still Kansas City.
Oh, for
what hell. A weird year compared to last year.
What a weird year. It's just nothing about them feels 6th. Nothing about, except that the Mahomes is there and they're wearing a red helmet.
They keep winning close, and then when they losing close, and then when they win big. Green Bay 5.
Well, that sounds right. Pulling together on
4.
Who?
Detroit.
Detroit 4. Okay.
Indianapolis still 3rd, but like we just said, if you look more shorter term, their offense is falling apart.
Right. Okay.
Rams 2.
Okay.
And your new number 1 again is the Seattle Seahawks.
That's as good as power rankings are going to get after a week like this.
Honestly, it really is. I mean, right. Okay, subjectively, if I looked at that list, I'm putting Green Bay 3rd.
Okay, that works.
Detroit 4th and the Colts 5th.
Okay, I'm
putting the Colts lower and the Packers higher.
The Colts lower.
Other than that, I'm not really changing it much.
I'd move the Chiefs down a spot or two. I'm sorry. They have one win in November. You know, that's a lot. So, but
Monday Night Football, as Sal Pal often says, it's the most important game of the week because I will be there.
Because you will be there in the cold.
2-10 Giants at the 10-2 Patriots. Patriots are the number one seed in 33% of sims with a win and 17% with a loss. They're basically in. The Giants are not only out, but they're basically out of the first pick because they have the easiest schedule in the league over their final 4 games.
Oh, wow.
So they're basically out of the number one pick. Here's a fun stat. Giants offensive DVOA, -20% with Russell Wilson at quarterback. Plus 1.5% with Jackson Dart at quarterback. Plus 15% with Jameis Winston at quarterback.
Oh, my God.
Which is only 2 games.
It's only 2 games, and it's weirdness, yes.
I feel like the Giants have a way better chance. I realize that I'm the Cassandra of the Gillette Stadium press box, waving my arms around about how the Bears and Patriots are not as good as their records. But I feel like the Giants have a way better chance of winning this game than anybody's giving them credit for. Now, obviously, the big thing here is the worst run defense since 1983 against Trayvon Henderson.
Yes. It's amazing how bad the Giants' run defense got. When I wasn't paying attention because I was so busy looking at the quarterbacks.
Particularly, by the way, with explosives. Yes. Right? Because the Patriots' problem this year is they cannot get a run game going that is consistent in any way. But when Travion gets free, explosives, he's super fast, right? Mm-hmm. The Giants are horrific at stopping explosive runs.
Remarkable. You've got an injury problem on your offensive line.
Yes. Will Campbell is out for 4 games. Jared Wilson, the left guard, is out as well.
Yes, that's a big issue. Harold Landry's out as well, right? I think.
I don't know. Oh, that one I haven't heard.
I think you're a little banged up on defense, but the offensive line is an issue. Offensive line is enough for me to be feeling backdoor cover at 7.5.
Oh, I'm absolutely cover at 7.5 here.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, I think the Giants have a better chance of winning. Now, you want to talk about what the Giants don't do well. The Giants are 28th against deep passes.
Okay. So that's
who's the number one quarterback in the league on deep passes?
Drake May.
Yeah. Here's a fun one. If you want to bet the Giants in the first half, the Giants are the number 4 offense in the first quarter before their offense falls apart after the scripted plays.
Right, the script, yes.
And the Patriots are the worst defense in the league in the first quarter before they get their act together after the scripted plays.
I know what I'm doing tonight
every single first drive this year, the Patriots opponent has scored. Like almost every single one.
I am going to hammer so many first quarter Giants and overplays, and then I'm going to fall asleep on the couch, hopefully a few dollars richer.
Yeah, it really, like, again, I mean, I mean, God, May is so good, and the Giants defense is nothing special, despite the fact that they do have the pass rush. They don't have to blitz May, which is good because May kills blitzes.
Right, and with Campbell and with the left side out, that's an issue because you got.
But I feel like that's an issue, and especially if they put in all 3 of the pass rushers at the same time, so they get one of the really good pass rushers against Ben Brown is probably the backup left guard.
Yeah,
and then the Patriots' pass defense is overrated,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like Dart will be able to pass some on them. Right. They're number 32 against number 1 wide receivers. Although, I mean, what is that? Darius Slayton? I'm not that.
Slayton. I mean, Wendell's your slot guy, but he's kind of your number 1 at this point for the Giants.
Yeah, I don't think you'd put Gonzalez up against him.
No. You cover him with slot people.
It just seems like it's a lot closer than that line. But yeah. I mean, the Patriots are rightly favored. I mean, it's more likely that the Patriots win than they lose, but. Ooh, it's screaming backdoor cover, man.
Right. It's not a weird line. If it was 6.5, I'd be like, yeah, that's exactly where I'd put it. Giving the Giants a touchdown changes things a little bit.
I mean, I would honestly make it Patriots by 4.
Okay. You are the Cassandra.
I am the Cassandra of the Jarrett Stadium press box. That's true. All right, that does it for today's show, folks. The FTN Black Friday sale goes for one more day. So if you want a discount on the GOAT subscription, use code TURKEY at FTN. Or follow my social media also for more links about the sale. And don't forget, of course, Mike's Substack, miketanier.substack.com. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for today's show. As we always say, like, subscribe, tell your friends about the show. So that they join us in future weeks, and we will be back at 11 a.m. on Thursday to preview week 14 in the NFL. He's Mike Tenier. I'm Aaron Schatz. So long, everybody.